right, welcome to the second episode of the Funny Stop Podcast, the official podcast of the Funny Stop Comedy Club here in Cuyahoga Falls. With us this week is the headliner of all these weekend shows, Rain Pryor. That was her saying hi. And then with me is my co-host, Devin Connor.
Hi.
So, Rain, you're supposed to be doing the shows. Can you plug the shows and times that you're playing?
I'm playing here on Fridays and Saturdays at 8 and 10:30. I'll be here all weekend. All of a sudden, I had a sex change. I'm going to call myself Randy Pryor.
So we have Randy Pryor with us now. He's going to be headlining.
I lived with Kardashians for too long, and that's what happened.
So the old saying's true about women, if you can't beat them, join them?
Probably, yes. Of course, if I've lived in that house, I probably would have beat him.
Yeah, I'd smack some buns while I was in there.
I bet you would have.
No, I'm too ugly. They wouldn't have sex with me. Well, Devin has some questions
for you. Yeah, Ginger. Gingers are gorgeous.
Well, I don't know about that.
Are you into gingers? Huh? Is that a thing?
I think ginger. Redheads, yeah. Gingers are good looking. They're good looking.
Is that a fetish?
Is it a fetish? I don't think it's a fetish because I haven't had many gingers.
I haven't acted on
my gingeress.
A lot of
I've met gingers.
Yes, I've met gingers. Pull people. Down your pants. How ginger are you?
Well, my boner does look like beef. Man, the juice coming out on me. This is scary.
I think I was Lebanese. I don't know.
I don't know any of the
language. They're close. They're in the same climate.
It's all the same to me. Devin has a question for you,
though.
Go
ahead, Devin.
Oh, okay.
Ask a question.
All right. Well, we were wondering...
Number one.
Number... Are we going to number them?
Yeah,
right. 1A. How did you decide that you were going to start doing stand-up comedy?
I was tricked into it.
You were tricked into it? By who?
Friends of mine.
The obvious people that people would think would be your dad.
Well, my dad wanted me to be a stand-up.
Okay.
When I was 18. And I said no. I was like, I'll do my way. I'm not going to do stand-up. I'm going to do things my way. I never did it, never wanted to do it. Tried to stay as clear from it as possible. Got on stage a few times. It terrified me. Was like, don't want to ever do it. Then I was living in Baltimore, and a friend of mine was like, you really need to be doing stand-up. And I was like, no. And he said, just come and open for me, but don't really open. Do like your show, but don't really open. And then he goes, do 5 minutes. I'm like, I don't have 5 minutes. And that's what happened.
So how did your first 5 minutes go?
It went great.
Great.
It actually went great.
Did they like say who you were?
Yeah, did. And it actually went great. And then I just started hosting and doing all the things that we're supposed to do, and bombing and all the great things that we do. And then that was it.
Do you think...
What do I think? That's question number two.
We'll say 1B.
1B.
When you said that he was just saying do what you normally do.
Right.
What were you doing before stand-up?
Well, I have a one-woman show called Fried Chicken and Latkes.
Uh-huh.
And I do a lot of characters, and I tell a lot of stories. And a lot of my friends in the industry, Rick Overton, Paul Prevenza, Colin Quinn, they were like, you're doing stand-up. Just do stand-up. And I'm like, no. I refuse to believe them.
So, and I saw you last night, because she also did the Thursday night show as well.
Yes,
so
I did.
We're plugging past performances now.
Yeah, right on.
I noticed that you did do like a lot of voices and stuff
like that.
Were a lot of those from just different acting roles?
Yeah. No. They're just people I meet. I love imitating the people I see on the street. They're a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, The Wizard of Oz is The Wizard of Oz, but you know. Yeah. I mean, that is acting.
So you didn't play meet the wizard?
No.
Wow.
But Dad played the wizard. In the black version. You would know nothing about that.
Michael Jackson was in that, right?
Yeah. Wow, I'm impressed.
My group of projects was in the academy, so I watched that in kindergarten.
So he never saw them. Yeah, that was the Wizard of Oz
right.
To him.
That was a real, right? I seen it.
What's this bullshit with the white people?
You're hilarious.
This is one of the other things I wanted to ask you about.
Don't you have your notes there?
I do, but
it's not
all the questions.
Oh, okay. All right.
When you were in Baltimore,
yes.
And you did have a joke about this, but when you were teaching for a little while?
Yes.
How did that start, and what was that like? Because I heard the joke, but I want to hear, like, I don't know if there's anything else, any other
No, that was all real.
Weird stuff that happened.
That was really real. I mean, I saw teachers get knocked out. by students. I saw a lot
of. Were
you
ever frightened of that?
And I was done. I didn't realize I went to go work at the toughest and the worst school historically in Baltimore because no one told me. I didn't know.
So they just. So everybody was like, oh, great.
Yeah, they're like, oh, right. And I had no idea I was working at one of the toughest.
And then how did you figure that out? Just after you saw a teacher get punched?
No, the second day of school, a kid did. He put me in a headlock and threw me on the floor.
Kid put you in a headlock?
Yeah. He was improvising a thug. That was his thing.
Okay.
And so was that like a character?
I literally almost beat him up because I, like, you know, your thing, your fleet or flight takes over. I was like.
Something about having your breathing obstructed.
Right.
You out?
Yeah, just a little bit.
How long did you do that for?
I did it for about, I think about 4 months, and then I was like, I'm done.
You had enough?
I saw too much.
Was that when you started doing stand-up? Did you start after that, or was it during?
It was during all that.
Yeah,
which was perfect, I think. You know? It allowed me to have a great outlet to get out.
You already had your escape.
I'm making more money going on the road. See you guys. I'm out of here.
Make more money, less headlocks.
Right, exactly.
Probably.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up, though? Did you grow up in L.A. or
New York? I grew up in Los Angeles in a place called Beverly Hills.
Well, how'd you end up in Baltimore?
Ooh, I've heard of that.
I had two friends and a 27-year-old piece of ass.
So... How much was it like The Wire?
It is The Wire.
It is?
It is. I just never saw The Wire, so I didn't know when I moved there. Yeah.
Did you start watching the show after you lived there? And you're like, yeah.
I did. And then I was like, oh my God. And then I married a cop, so I knew more about it. Of all things. Maybe a police officer.
Was that like the breaking point where you're like, I gotta get out after you started hearing...
Yeah, but I'm still in Baltimore. I haven't really left. I mean, I just get out when I tour, and that's great. It's also like a vacation.
So do you still do like guest lectures and things like that? Like speaking
I do sometimes. I do. I speak around the country a lot.
You do it around the country. Mm-hmm. Do you do like colleges or what's the age range that you usually end up doing?
Well, for speaking stuff, it's usually based on what my dad's condition was, how he passed away, his multiple sclerosis. So that's what I usually speak on. I also do the colleges that I spoke at from North Carolina. And in Pennsylvania have been on race. So I talk a lot about diversity and race. I mean, I guess growing up a black Jewish girl, they feel I'm qualified. You know?
No, but it's like, but what are your credentials?
My credentials are I'm smart. And self-educated.
Did you go to college or anything like that?
No, because while most people were going to colleges, I was making 10 grand a week.
Oh.
So I had a job and a career.
Now, I feel that particularly because I just graduated college. And
What did you major in?
Radio, TV, communications.
But see, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that makes sense.
And now I'm doing a podcast.
Right,
and,
but that makes sense for you. Right.
It does make sense.
It does, yeah.
It's substantially
less... I don't
think
you can go to school for stand-up and acting. Like, you can, but it's like...
They do.
Unless
often.
I'm going to teach with it, doesn't make sense to get a degree. Like, I should have gone... And every time I did go to school, I did go to college here and there, because anytime I stopped acting, I was like, I'm going to go to school and be something else. And I studied therapy psychology, because that's what I thought I was going to be, a psychologist. And I love forensic psychology, so I thought I was going to end up being a forensic psychologist. Wow. You know, figure out murder cases and who did what and why.
Going to be like that.
So living in Baltimore makes sense.
Yeah, kind of, right? Doesn't it? It's close to Hopkins. They did a lot of studies on people back in the day on the street.
On the street. That's weird, man. Our first podcast guest, we had Dave Landau. He grew up in Detroit, and he was telling us about on the street. So
yeah.
when you well, of course, everyone knows who your dad is, and then you went to Baltimore. So was that like a reality check, like real different from Beverly Hills to Baltimore?
I mean, it is, but it's not. What's different is people were normal. Like, you can have a normal lifestyle.
Nobody cared who you
Nobody
were,
cared.
Anything
no.
like that?
Uh-uh. Yeah. And if they do, they notice you, but they don't make a deal of it.
Okay.
It's like, oh my God, da-da-da-da, so glad you're in our city, and then they go.
They didn't do stuff like...
Stand outside your door with a camera, you know, watch you take your kids to school.
Has anyone done that to you?
Yeah, in L.A., yeah.
Really?
Yeah, which is part of why I moved. I was like, I'm done.
Sounds...
I see one more person outside my door, I can't take it.
Sounds very intrusive.
It is very intrusive.
Go there.
It's crazy, I tell you, just crazy.
Too many, Pete.
That was the owner, Pete.
How many?
Doesn't Pete look like a Ninja Turtle in a shell?
We cut that from the last one, so we could keep it in this one. theoretically. what is your experience here with Pete been like?
And it's been
has it been any different than most places?
Yeah, first of all, he has a lot of respect for the comics. He has a lot of respect for comedy. His club, like, you feel it. People come here to laugh, too. They come to the club to laugh. They're coming to have a good time, and he presents that, and I love it. You know, he's like the guy you kind of want to work for. You wish a lot of the clubs were like him. Hey!
How do you like his announcements?
Met them at the hotel. Told them I think. To come to the show, see like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's only nice to you guys because you're a headliner. Come down here and be us. We see the nice side of him, but we don't feel it.
You don't feel it. I'm sorry.
No.
So question 1C.
Yeah.
1C. To break up that. What's your favorite medium to do like comedy? And do you like acting? Do you have a preference or a favorite that you like to do?
I prefer. Acting, directing, and my talk show.
So you
comedy is a job, like, is a great job to have, so you don't have to have a real one.
Okay. You sound like every open micer's ambitions.
I just don't want to work.
I just don't want to do other stuff.
I just want to tell dick and fart jokes.
So what's your TV show like? I saw
that's
it was on
the problem
Aspire
with
TV.
The open micer. That's why they're not working.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got to throw in a couple things that make everybody want to leave.
Right, exactly.
Because how else are you going to get paid?
Right. I went out with an open micer once. I know.
How was that?
Deadly. We got in a bar fight because he was so bad.
Wait, hold on. Did you
anyway,
guys...
moving right along.
Oh, man.
How?
Dad said never date a comic. I understand why. Hi.
So how long did that last?
Too long.
Was that... Were you still going to open mics or were you just like...
No, no. I was going to support him. And watch him do his thing and hope that he made it.
Did you get involved in the bar fight?
I did because she came after me because I started telling jokes and she was drunk and unhappy because she already was mad at him already. And so she was like, I'm going to beat you up. Do you know who I am? And the bar is like laughing because I went under a pseudonym and I didn't go as Reen. I went as something else. Oh, yes, Cindy Goldberg. And so she was like, do you know who I am? And the bar's like cracking up because they all knew who I was. It was one of those things. And I was like, oh.
What came out first?
Ironic.
The Jewish
side? The chicken
side?
Or the egg?
No, the Jew or the black came out first.
I think they both did. It was like I had polka dots or something.
One of them's like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you, then sue you right after.
Yeah, right. Oh, you meant in the fight. I thought
yes.
You meant when I was born.
No.
Sorry, I was confused. I don't know.
What the
fuck?
What the fuck?
That was a weird conversion. I know, right? I thought that's what you said. Okay. That's totally where my mind went. Where it came out first. I'm like, think of the day I was born. I don't know.
Mine's like right in the gutter.
That's hilarious. Oh,
Jesus.
Boy.
Jesus.
Moving on. Yes.
Matt, do you have any questions?
Sorry, Matt. I threw him off.
No, I'm good right now, man. I'm just waiting to jump in with something else a little silly.
Here's something I want to talk about. Last night's show,
last
just for everybody
show.
Listening,
yeah.
To start the show, there was a marriage proposal.
There was.
Yeah. Have you ever seen something like that happen at a
no,
show?
No, I have not. I think a comedy club is a weird place to propose.
Yeah. And do you think that says kind of a lot about probably the future? For that couple.
The future for that couple is looking good down the road. 2 months from now, we'll hear the wedding's off.
Do you think they'll get that far, or do you think?
I think they'll get that far. I think they'll get married, and then they'll break up.
Well, I think after
they seem like that couple. They seem like that kind of couple. Like, we're going to get married, and because she hesitated. Like, she didn't say, like, yes. She kind of looked at him like, are you for real? Like, wondering if this was part of the act, you know? Like, she had that look, so I was like, I don't know.
Well, he did start with a joke. Forgot to mention that.
Yeah, right.
What was the joke, or what was the gist of it?
The gist of the joke was basically that it had something to do with what you're buying for, like, bed, headboard, and stuff like that.
Yeah, when
and
you're single. That's what it is.
Yeah,
single,
it was about
and then the
singles.
Nightstand, and
yeah,
one-night stand, that's where it
came
from.
You buy one-night stand and just a headboard or something like that.
Yeah.
But the point of the joke was...
He's no longer doing hookers.
Yeah. No longer just banging sluts.
Right.
Which is good for a marriage.
And he wants that one. That's basically what he was saying is I want that slut, not just any slut.
He was like, you brought up porn. She was if you remember, she was the only woman
who
applauded.
She is the one that said she watched. Yeah, because she's been in them.
I noticed one of my favorite reactions about one of the things you said. You were talking about buying women toys when men are going out of town.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you're a realistic person, that makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, doesn't it?
But
thanks, Matt.
One of the guys up front had his head in his hands. I don't know if you remember or not. He was going, no.
Right, yeah, he was very upset about it.
Why do you think that was?
Because I think he has a small penis, and so his reaction was that of involuntary reaction, of feeling inadequate.
Why would you do that as a dude if you got a small ding-a-ling? Why would you buy something bigger than what you got? Why don't you get one?
That should be your best friend, though, because then...
No, it's not, because you get one
smaller. She's not trying to hit it elsewhere. See, that's the point.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I wouldn't want... Look, I'm not saying I got a huge ding-a-ling or a small ding-a-ling.
Right,
it's
but
a
you're
very...
tall, so it's average.
In the right light, it's okay.
Right, but that's all that matters is the right light.
You don't even know. I won't even look at myself in the mirror when I shower. But no, I mean, I don't get why dudes... How come ladies can have sexy stuff like that? They can play with
men
stuff.
Men can have it, too.
But
they
dudes
have little fake vaginas.
We're not allowed to talk about that, though.
Well, you should.
Well,
why
ladies
not?
Are allowed to put, like, cucumbers and stuff in them, but I'm not allowed to put my wiener in an orange or a grapefruit.
That would be... It would sting, first off.
Very acidic.
No, trust me,
very
it doesn't.
Acidic.
It doesn't.
Really?
No,
maybe
it doesn't.
Maybe watermelon. You should try watermelon.
No!
If he's a racist, you should try watermelon.
That's racist!
That's what I'm saying. It might help you overcome
that. Is
that
racist?
I don't know.
If you only have sex with watermelons, does that make you racist?
I think I'm racist because I refuse to eat it at barbecues.
Put a little salt on it?
No. If there's, unless there's a... The only time is if it's a group of, like, my people, I'll eat it. If I go to a white barbecue, no.
I was saying, I don't think
this is to avoid the stereotype or something.
Yeah, it's avoid the stereotype. I don't like that. What are you talking about? Chicken? I don't want chicken. Where's the fish? Give me the big salmon.
I love how you can choose which race to be.
I can.
And what
it's
to be
so
offended
awesome.
At
based I can. On the situation. Awesome. It's so awesome. Oh my God.
The Valley Girl. Is that? Did you ever used to talk like that when you were younger?
I did. Unfortunately, I did. Yeah.
How long did it take you to grow out of that? Or have you even grown up? Is that
I don't
why
think
you kind
sometimes
of do
I don't
lot?
Grow out of it. I think sometimes she just pops out normally.
You start doing it?
Yeah. Like, I get excited, and there are moments I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then I get mad, and there's moments like I'm like, you know what? I will kick your ass. So it just code switches. It depends.
What would like a, I guess you could say like the ghetto accent you were saying when that comes out with a Valley Girl. Is that supposed to be scary to white people?
The ghetto accent or the
no,
Valley
it's like
Girl?
A Valley Girl that's like that.
No, they just stop and laugh. It's a diffuser is really what it is. It's a diffusing mechanism. Because if you play dumb, then they're like, oh, we can't kick ass. You dumb.
That's how I used to try to talk to ladies, but it doesn't work.
You just have to speak, Matt, and we'll run, or we'll gravitate towards you. Either one, darling.
Either way, nothing
has worked.
You're
only 20, what?
Right. 20.
Yeah. Yeah,
so she's saying it's a numbers game.
Yeah, she's a baby.
And it's not quality, it's just quantity. Find the fatties. I'm trying, man. I couldn't have sex with a fat girl, though.
Why?
Because if we were laying down together, we'd look like the number 10. And I ain't trying to get with a bitch that makes me does math.
Oh, man.
That's going to hurt my feelings, you know?
Wow.
What, Devin? You know it's true.
What are we going to do with him?
Do you want to take
know?
Him with you? Do you want to take
Let
him with
take you?
Take
you home.
Yeah, I'll fit right into Baltimore.
I'm gonna take you a few things, son. I'm going to take you a few things.
Go out there and get a wire name and be like Pookie or Bubbles.
Exactly.
I'm going to be on the street casting and be out there dealing. Oh, shit. Omar coming. That's going to be me.
We'll just call you Fireball.
Yeah, I'm going to be like the gay Mount Robin Hood.
Come here, Fireball. Bend over.
What? All right. Fuck.
Yes. Question 2.4.
Oh, this is 1D.
1D.
They're all variations of 1. We're not going to question. There's no question 2.
All right, good.
How do you feel about... Well, you started your weekend off by witnessing an engagement at the club.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you feel like that's a good sign for Valentine's Day weekend? Or is that just one of the
saddest... Next question, please.
Well, here, we'll see if you like this. You can skip this if you want. They're supposed to be doing it, or they may have already done a biopic about your dad.
Yes.
We heard you're very outspoken against
yes.
it.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because I don't like... First of all, I don't think you should make a movie about... first of all, there's been three other films about my dad already, about his life. One that he wrote, a documentary And another one that was also on Showtime. So why bother making another film? It's like, what else could you? What, first of all, what else could you possibly say? Why choose Mike Epps of all people? I think is just crappy. Why choose Oprah of all people? I think is just crappy, and not involve his kids. I think is just far from reality, and shouldn't happen.
So are you saying that they didn't ask for any input?
They didn't ask.
Anything?
No, they went to the step monster, you know, and she stole the legacy, so...
Who is that? Is that,
She's a step monster. That's how I'll put it.
What studio greenlit this, though, that if they couldn't even get the family's rights with you guys?
I don't think the studios have greenlit.
Like they haven't started it?
I think it might be Miramax. It's part of Miramax, and the guy who did Precious is directing it. Forget at the moment his name is going blank, probably for good reason though.
Well, I was reading, and you know, correct me if this is wrong.
Go ahead, read.
I mean, obviously, I'm just reading stuff.
Go ahead,
and now I'm talking to you.
Read the crap. Go ahead,
but,
spit it out.
It was in the article. It was saying that they were saying Nick Cannon thought he was going to get the role, and nobody was really too enthusiastic about that. And you said Marlon Wayans would be your choice if you got to pick.
Well, no, my real choice would have been someone like Mos Def.
Someone like Mos Def?
Yeah. But he's not allowed back in the country. Because my dad had a lot of class. My dad, even though my dad grew up the way he grew up, I think there's a misconception, even in stand-up comedy. You know, you have urban comedy now, and urban comedy to me is very ghetto. It's very play the dozens, the comedy, where my dad never did that in his comedy. He never played the dozens. What he was is he told stories, and everybody could relate. If you were black, if you were white, everyone related to his stand-up. And he also had a class about him. My dad always smelled good. He dressed well. He had his nails done. He got his hair. Like, my dad had, he was just a man. Man. So when you have these young comics who think they can play Richard Pryor, they're imitating what they think, how he grew up in the hood. He wasn't yes, there were brothels. Yes, there were pimps and madams, but it was like a different era. So it was like the sense of class that happened. And people forget that. So they add this urban now kind of thing on it, and it doesn't make, do you know what I mean?
So instead of focusing on who he was, they focus on his background more.
On the caricature of who he was.
So they try and, they kind of pervert it in the memory?
Yeah, and I'm just like, come on, get with it.
How do you feel about,
go ahead.
A lot of, like you were saying, a lot of black comics that start up, we've seen in open mics and stuff, they do that. They'll do
absolutely.
That urban style with trying to do the storytelling and playing it. And offstage, they're not like that.
Right.
So when you do it, how do
but
you...
But I'm not urban. That's what's funny.
That's what I'm asking.
I don't even attract that audience.
Yeah, does that, like, offend you, though?
No.
As a black woman, to see, like, these black guys playing this caricature, you know?
I think it's a...
Does it offend you more as a comic?
No, it offends me more intellectually.
Okay.
because I'm like, well, we all don't act that way, and we don't speak that way, and we all grew up differently, but there's a sense if you play a certain room, you're supposed to be a certain way, you know? And it's like me, I'll never get booked in an urban club because I'm just not urban.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about, you know...
But if you're doing,
I was gonna say, but I can't because we're on podcast.
You can say whatever you want.
I'm not gonna be like, so I got ass fucked last night by this dude, and let me tell you about him. Like, that's not my, you know, stand up, right, girl? You know what I'm talking about? You know, like, that's just not my stand up.
I don't tell jokes. I tell stories.
Right?
Right? These are true. These are true.
Right? These are true. Let me break it down to you. Nigga came over my house, see, and the bitch was all like that. See, you're laughing. Can you imagine that me say no?
It'd be very hard to do the Valley Girl character right after
it would
that.
Be. And I'd be like, oh my god, I can't believe I just did that.
See, you on BET Comic View.
Right, exactly.
Death
exactly.
Jam.
So how was that? I don't know. It just came out.
Well, I've noticed that though, that like, because like a lot of comics when they first start, they don't know how to do it, which still a lot of us don't.
Right.
But they still
most
don't.
Most men don't know how to do it.
No, but they imitate other.
Oh, you're talking about comedy. Okay, sorry, man.
It hurt my feelings, man.
I'm sorry, man.
This podcast does not support penis shaming.
No, it does not. But I'm saying a lot of cats start trying to imitate who they want.
Yes.
And we've seen that a lot. A lot of black guys will, when they start, will do a birth prior. Absolutely. A lot of white guys will start out and do, say, like a Carlin if they're into talking.
Right, right.
Or they'll do like a Hedberg or something. And what I'm getting is a lot of these comics that aren't around anymore.
Right.
It seems like a lot of these guys will rip
their
styles.
Or Jim Norton. They're doing Jim Norton.
Oh,
they're doing Doug Stanhope.
Dave
they're doing
Attell.
Dave Attell. They're doing...
anyone with a distinct style.
Yeah.
Well, the dirtiness, too. They're trying
to play
to the back
room. Realizing that these guys, like, especially dirty comedy, like, I love seeing newer comics try dirty stuff because they don't realize, like, the Norton, Stanhope, they say what they're going to say, but they're intellectual about it. Like, it's funny. It's heady. It's like, it might be dirty, but it's not dirt. It's like, if you think back, you're like, oh, that was smart. Like, that was sexy, but it was smart. You know what I mean? Like, he just said dick, but he made it sound so authentic. You know?
It's that's like, why I really, I used to listen to Opie and Anthony growing up, and that's why, like, Jim Norton and them. I mean, sure, he does have a lot of tranny joke,
but
the monster
right, but he's freaking smart, right?
Sometimes Jim gets a little too smart. Like, come
you can be ignorant and intelligent at the same time.
But yeah, his shit's, it's not stupid. It's funny, though.
It's kind of like, you can take an ignorant position on an issue, but the train of logic can make sense still.
Right.
So you can say something super ignorant, but if you explain it the right way, you can make it make sense.
I guess so. I haven't seen that yet. Let me know.
I don't know. I did a show the other night.
I mean, our presidents, I feel, have done that. But, you know,
I did a show the other night.
I don't know about people.
There was a white guy in the audience that said he used to be a cop.
Really?
He was a truck driver now, and I asked him if he ever shot any black kids.
I think that's funny, though.
It was funny, but to him, he was
poignant.
Offended.
Yeah, because it's poignant, because he probably did. That's why he was offended.
No, I was just bombing, and I was like, I need a laugh. There's no black people here. Go for the race card.
Aww.
The guy was sitting there like, I paid tickets. Don't bring up my life.
I'm sorry.
Although, as a home run, white people love racism, and there's a lot of old ones, so they liked racism when it was cool.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so.
Racist hipsters?
Yeah.
No, they're just, like, old. So as long as I pitter-pattered around the word, they knew where I was going.
Hilarious.
No, it wasn't. I had to get out of there.
Well, this place is getting full. We have to cut it down soon.
Yeah. Close it out.
All right.
I bring us home there.
All right. What was the worst gig you think you've ever done? Or the weirdest? The weirdest show?
The worst gig I ever did was a gig up in Connecticut, and it was like at picnic table. People sat at picnic tables.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it was right. Something was going on, and I had a lot of really political stuff, and I didn't realize where I was very, very anti-liberal anything. So I was headlining, literally heard crickets. So I just said, I automatically zoomed to dick jokes and brought it around. But the first half, it was the most, and it was a kind of, like, literally I started sweating during the gig because it was that bad. It was like,
well, you felt that uncomfortable?
Like, no, because I thought someone was going to hit me. Like, there was silence. It was like, ha! And one person went, ha! Nothing. And this went on for like, and I was trying to do it, and I went with it for like 10 minutes to the point, literally, like I had that thing, like that fright sweat, like literally I was dripping sweat. And I was like, in my head, it went, just tell dick jokes. Just go to the dick jokes. And once I did that, it was fine. And they were like, oh my God, we love your dick jokes. I was like,
so they came up to you after the show, and they still enjoyed it?
They enjoyed the dick jokes, yeah.
But they made sure to point out we enjoyed
the first half. Yeah, the first half was, they were like, the first half, I don't know. It was hilarious.
Okay.
How does that make you feel?
That was the worst gig I ever. Oh, and then I did one gig at Broadway Comedy Club in New York, and I didn't realize something was going on with me. I had, I don't know if I was getting sick or something, or I thought I had a stroke is what happened, because I got on stage and everything I tried to say came out backwards, and I noticed it but I couldn't correct it. Got off stage, fainted.
Wow. What was it? What happened?
They still don't know.
You did like the world.
Did they take you to the hospital?
Yeah, I went to the hospital. They took blood tests. They were like, we don't know. But my blood pressure was so high, they thought maybe that was, had something to do. So they thought maybe I had a stroke, but there was nothing in the test that said I had a stroke. So
you were on stage like talking backwards and stuff? So you did like the world's greatest Yoda impression?
Probably.
You're actually a Jedi?
Yeah, I am. Jedi mind.
You like fainted. You're like, oh.
Like, no, when you would have
going out there, laugh.
That's more
everybody.
Like Jabbar. What is it? Jar Bar?
Jar Jar Binks, the most racist thing ever created.
I know, right?
Ooh, it's a master. Yeah.
I'm so.
That's how I get around doing my black impression. I just tell everyone it's Jar Jar Binks. I'm like, no, I really like Django Unchained. Trust me.
That was great. It was great. Yes,
I forget what I was about to say.
Don't worry. Everything I say always comes back to some way to do with race. It's okay.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, like your new CD?
My new CD is coming. Thank you. My new CD comes out April 7th on Uproar. It's a comedy CD called Black and White. Okay. It's racial.
You don't say.
Don't say.
When you know you got a new CD or something like that coming out, do you have like a writing process? Do you like pick it up because you want to do different stuff, or
I've been working on what I've been on this particular set for the last year, so it was ready.
Yeah.
You know, so now it's at that place where it's ready. I'll do it again for another year, and then I'll write a completely new set.
Okay. So are you going to do you kind of like incrementally kind of drop new stuff in?
Always. Every
you're doing
show
it?
I drop something in.
Okay. So you have like a little plan bit that you're going to work on and
I have
you kind of push that?
All that, yep. And then I was told by someone, try to drop in three new things every night.
Three new things?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a certain time frame for the new things, or is it just kind of three new ideas and
three
see where you get them?
See what happens. If it does, if it works, it works. If it kind of worked, that's the one you may want to work on more. And if definitely if it hits, like use it, you know what I mean? Try it again and see if it keeps hitting. So I try to do that.
Do you like write it out? Or do you kind of just come up with an idea?
Sometimes I write it out.
You do?
Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it just happens on stage.
So you do a little bit of both. You let it just happen.
I like spontaneity. I'm better at spontaneity than I am like, let me write this out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, unless I've done it for a while.
Do you have any sort of improvisational background?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
What was that?
Just, my whole life has been one big improv. You never know what's going to happen next.
just dealing with life.
Yeah. I mean, I've performed with the Groundlings before. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, your TV show...
Yes, Arise and Shine, my talk show.
Arise
and
Shine?
Yes, Arise and Shine, morning talk show.
On Arise TV, right? I read that they only play it in a few cities.
New York, London, and Africa.
Africa got in on that.
I know, right? Well, our owner is Nigerian, so it makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Hence the Nigerian spam.
So do you have, like, a fan base in Africa?
I do.
You do?
I do. Funny, one of my co-stars, not known here in the States, nobody knows who he is, but he's, like, huge. He's, like, the Justin Bieber of Ethiopia. Like, it's hilarious. So, like, I didn't know who he was, but if he goes to Ethiopia, he'll get mobbed. Like, I was cracking up. I'm like, this is amazing.
And they look at you like, who's this lady?
Yeah, I know.
Did you ever hear that street joke about Ethiopians? How many Ethiopians can you fit in a phone booth?
A lot.
All of them.
Right? I was going to say, exactly. Yeah, I always tease my co-host, too, because I'm like, he's very thin, but he's healthy thin, you know? And I'm like, obviously, you eat, like, real food here.
You don't eat dirt and sticks.
Yeah. He's on TV. So.
Yeah, I'm like, you can afford the food. I said, you should be sending that money back home for your people. He's
look
like,
at
you're terrible.
Look at him, like, bullshit, 25 cents
like,
a day?
He's like, you're terrible.
Well, Rain, do you have any Twitters, Facebooks, websites?
I do.
Rain
Pryor at Rain Pryor on Twitter. Facebook is Rain Pryor Productions. Pryor Productions on Facebook. I don't have Instagram. Instagram me.
So if we tag a picture of Rain Pryor,
I mean, it will go to there is a Rain Pryor Instagram.
Like
it's just
hashtag.
Not mine.
Oh,
I don't know whose it is.
Is it a fan or is it just a different?
No, I think
Rain
someone
Pryor.
Had started it a while ago, but I don't have a way to get into it and change it, so I never use it. Yeah. No, I'm not up on the whole technology thing yet. I'm like, I'm still
you have
like
a smartphone?
I do.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of smart.
It's kind of smart.
It's an iPhone. It talks to me.
That sounds
pretty
intelligent.
If I ask it where to bury a dead body, she'll tell me.
Will it?
Yeah.
Does it ever?
Dumpster. But if you can't ask where to have an abortion, it won't tell you.
Huh.
Not interesting.
Why is it more okay with...
I know, to dump a body.
Is that like a political statement that iPhone's trying to make?
I think it is.
Siri is pro-life.
Look, Steve Jobs was all a part of that Silicon Valley thing, and they were dropping acid, and they still do, to try to figure things out, you know?
High-power microchips.
Technology. Yeah.
You just get one more mushroom, and then we'll get it.
Exactly. They're dropping LSD there. It's amazing.
In Silicon Valley?
And going to strip clubs. I'm serious. I'm not joking.
I believe
there's
you.
There's a big story actually on CNN about a lot of the Silicon Valley executives of the corporations now of Apple and all those things are dropping.
So
acid to come up with ideas and be more innovative.
So like the tech revolution
yes.
may have started from hallucinogens.
It may have started from Timothy Leary. You might have done it.
You need us to bleep that name out? You're like, Rain's not doing the Valentine's Day show. Right. Someone's going to come down here and be like, you said our fucking name.
You're not allowed to, is that it?
The Illuminati's coming.
Well, is there anywhere we can check your show out?
Yeah, you can on ArriseTV.net.
Okay.
I believe, cool. Yeah.
And
YouTube,
you have
we have a YouTube channel, Arise and Shine YouTube channel.
Arise and Shine, yeah. On YouTube?
Yeah.
All right. And you have a documentary coming out
soon? I do, called That Daughter's
well?
Crazy.
Okay.
And it's a documentary about my solo show, Fried Chicken Latkes, growing up black and Jewish, my mom, my grandma.
Okay. So
what it was like.
Just
it's
about you.
Awards, yeah.
Okay. When is that going to be out?
It's been out. It's been out. So you can get it at thatdaughterscrazy.com, the DVD you can purchase.
Okay.
We're looking for a big release in the next few months, so fingers crossed that'll happen. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, thank
you,
Rain, for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
All right, well, this is your host, Matt Brady. I got my co-host, Devin Connor, here. We're signing off with the very funny Rain Pryor is going to be here all weekend. She's doing two shows tonight and Valentine's Day.
Come out and get married.
Yes.
Yeah, come on.
That's at the Funny Stuff Comedy Club here in Cuyahoga Falls at 1757 State Road. Call 330-923-1962 for tickets. I think both shows are sold out, but in case someone doesn't call anybody,
show
be able to get them.
Show
up.
Right?
Show up. Well, thanks a lot, Rain.
Show up. Come out to the shows.